listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to today's episode of Your Ultimate Life. Really glad to be here with you. You know, this picture behind me, I'm going to move the URL there. This picture behind me is a funny thing. I was just talking to Sam with Sam about it. This is a picture made by one of those AI art things. And that prompt that I put in was, alchemy and alchemist, right? And so it's got all these chemicals and crazy stuff, and it's turning lead into gold, of course, which was the idea of the alchemists of old, is try to figure out a way to create precious metals from base metals. And they never really succeeded at that per se, but they did scare enough people that in some of the kingdoms in Europe, they made it against the law to practice alchemy and to say some of the things associated with that. That's kind of funny. Anyway, today I want to talk about plans. Plans. Do you have a plan for your life? Like, you know, one way is to just go with the flow. Get up every day and see what happens. And you can do that. And some days are going to go good, and some days are going to go grumpy, and some days you're going to hit the jackpot, and some days you're going to hit a big pothole. And I have lived that way sometimes. I found in my own life that having a plan, trying to do something on purpose. Now, I plan to get through today and still be breathing in the morning. That's one level of plan. I plan to get through this tax season. In Canada, here where I am right now, taxes are due April 30th, which is in a few more days. In the U.S., it's April 15th, I know, which was a few days ago. Oh, if I can just get through that. I worked one year for a tax, an accountant who did a lot of taxes. And I worked for him during tax season from January to April. And it was just frantic and, you know, late nights and lots of work. And then after tax season was over, then he would take a vacation for a couple of weeks, right? The first couple of weeks of May. I want to talk to you about a plan. I have something called a mission statement. I've referred a lot of times to something called a PTAC, personal truth and commitment document. And you may be confusing or think it may bring up to you the idea of a personal manifesto or things that you might have created at some event where you went there and, you know, and you wrote statements like, you know, I'm a wonderful, compassionate, kind, caring woman or man, or I'm diligent and I do what I say, you know, those kinds of things. And those are all wonderful. But and I use the word but on purpose, behold the underlying truth. They don't really last very long, and they don't do much for you unless you create a huge, stalwart, powerful, deep, meaningful follow-up process. Because often when we write those things, we are saying things that we wish we were, we want to have. We think, oh, if I could only whatever, right? And so we write words that are beautiful and powerful if we were only that. And the struggle is because we know we're not, we're writing aspirational statements, we get scared of them or we get frustrated with them or we feel guilty about them. There's a way to use powerful statements, declarations, powerfully without having that sort of negative aftermath, like an albatross hanging around your neck. And so then you quit saying them. And that is the creation of a personal truth document. Now, today, I'm not going to go over the creation of a personal truth document. First of all, it's a multi-hour process. When I work with that with clients, we spend 90 days. And the first month is spent in preparation. And then they fly up to see me, and we spend an entire day. They fly in the night before, we spend all day, and they fly out the next day crafting a document that is just for them with their words, their aspirations, eliminating their fears and all that stuff. And it is perhaps the most powerful thing you can do. And the reason it is because it is not written to be impressive. It's not written to sound good. It's not written to brag. It's not written to say, ooh, I'm cool, look at me. It's not written to even share. It's written as a contract between your soul your true inner spirit or whatever you call it, and the universe, God, the creator, you are making a contract. And so if anyone else shares it or not, doesn't matter. What matters is that it is powerfully stated enough that every time you revisit it, that it changes you. It inspires you. It lifts you. It blesses you. It makes you weep. It makes you pound the table and say, this is who I am. And then the key is to revisit it every day, every morning, maybe three or four times a day, so that you have that energy and power all the time. You know, when you see a movie or hear a poem or sing a song, it just reaches deep into your emotion. What if you could create a statement of your own worth, value, capability, who you are in the world, and then use that all the time to stay powerful, to stay unafraid, to stay bold, to stay clear, to do the things you say you're going to do? One of the things I've learned as a coach is that we create our world. For better or worse, we create the world we live in. And I don't mean we control external events. We both know we don't do that. We create how we experience them. In July last year, I got hurt. I got hurt badly. It was on a Thursday night. By Saturday, I had to spend a day in the ER on a morphine or a hydromorphone drip to just, you know, get over the pain. I started a long period of rehabilitation, and I still limp. Okay. And I can't, my hip hurts and I walk. Some days are better than others, but some days are hurt a lot. And so I can experience that one of two ways. I can be angry. I can be frustrated. I can feel deprived. I can be negative, or I can lean into it and love it. I can say, this is what it is right now. I enjoyed many years without a limp. Now I have a limp. I enjoyed many years this way, and now my life is a different way. So what am I going to make out of this? And that's not living in sour grapes, and it's not, you know, pretending. It is a choice, a powerful choice. So from documents like a PTAC, Personal Truth and Commitment, you can create other documents. And that's what I want to share with you today, a mission statement. And I have a mission statement, and I am going to share that with you today. And I'm going to talk about what it means, where it came from, and why it matters, and how it helps me create this ultimate life, how it helps me create more money, because that's what most people seem to worry about when they come to a coach. I need to build a business. I need to make more cash. I need to, I'm behind. I'm not doing well. I talked to somebody the other day, and they were just saying, you know, I had all this money. It was almost $1 million saved, and now most of it's gone. And, you know, they wait till then before they get desperate and they're going to go get some help. Anyway, so it is 100% your choice how you experience your life, whether you like what's going on or not. You can argue with that, or you can just lean into the truth, because what is, and you're not going to, your anger, frustration, resignation, sadness, bitterness, complaining, or anything else, you're not going to change what is. You're not going to change what is. The only thing you or I can change is who we are. So with my, you know, I have ears that don't work. I wear hearing aids. I have bad vision. I wear weird contact lenses, and I have arthritis and all this crap. I don't care. I love it. I choose to love it. And I create without thinking about that from that place. So here is, I'm going to talk about the pieces of the mission statement and why I have them. Now, as I share this mission statement with you, it is not to instruct you about having a mission statement. It is to encourage you to create one. It is not to give you words for yours, because my words won't make sense in your life. The way that words and statements make sense is if they come out of your heart, if they come out of your yearning, if they come out of your connection and commitment to the creator. Now, I heard a part of a song a little while ago today that was done by, I forgot who, and it was talking about in California. It meant something to me because I was born in San Francisco and raised in California. But it said, you know, money is the only thing that matters in California. Well, from their perspective, that may be true, but that's not a very useful point of view, because money comes and money goes. You might have a lot, you might have a little. And then you could say, well, I'm happy when I have a lot and I'm miserable when I have a little. You're handing the power of your life over to some externality. How many zeros you've got in your bank account? I don't care if you have 10 million or 100 million. You can be miserable. You know that's true. Excuse me, because of the number of people that have money and are miserable and do stupid things. So let's talk about mission statements. So here's mine. Kellen's mission statement says who I want to be, who I am, who I declare myself to be in the world, is I came into this world to do the will of my Father. Now, I mean my Father in heaven, God, because, excuse me, I have developed a strong relationship and connection. So I have chosen, not because I abdicate, but I've chosen to dedicate my life to do good. And the reason is because I love and I trust God with all my being. I trust that following that path will lead me to the most joy, the ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy. And that includes the cash I need to live and the joy that accompanies adding good to the world. And I can tell you that that's true because that's how I live, and I live in absolute joy every day. Every day is exciting. It's fun. I jump up and down, literally, in excitement. People ask me, how are you? And I can hardly find the words. I love every day. And you might think I'm weird, and maybe I am. But if you want to live like that, what's stopping you? What is preventing you from being joyful today? And if you list a bunch of externalities, like your job or your lack of, or your bank or your lack of, or your health or your lack of, that's your choice. You can be happy anyway. Joy is a choice. All right. Here's step one, or part one. My mission statement, to learn from my own experience and add good to the world. What does that mean? Well, you go through life, and so do I, every day, a day at a time, a conversation at a time, you know, anything, one thing at a time, a drive to the store at a time, one rude person at a time. We got a fun phone call. Joy told me we got a phone call from the city here of Edmonton, and they said, hey, we haven't been able to read your water meter for months, because every time our guy comes over, or our meter reader, I don't know if it's a guy or a gal, your dog's in the yard. Well, that's funny to me because, you know, they could knock on the door and say, we need to read the meter, but they haven't. And apparently for months. So they sent us, called us and said, hey, well, it's not going to solve the problem because I don't know when they're going to come. So they're still going to have to knock on the door and we'll bring the dog in. So that's just a thing that is, and that doesn't mean anything. But they found it frustrating. Oh, we can't read the meter because of your dog. Well, okay. Knock on the door. Solve the problem. I came into the world to learn from my own experience and add good to the world. That's part one. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 parts. I came into the world to learn from my own experience and add good to the world. Now, we have a series of life experiences. Some are positive, many are negative, or what we perceive to be negative. Many are struggles. You went bankrupt. Someone ripped you off. Your job isn't paying you enough money. You can't take the kind of vacations you want. You feel like you're being deprived. You hate the way the government is doing things. You're not happy with your partner. You're not happy that you don't have a partner. All those things are life experiences. With every one of those, I have a choice to use it for my growth or to use it to complain about. I say, well, I'm going to let it ruin me or I'm going to let it refine me. That is a conscious choice. And yeah, I'm a coach. And so as a life coach, that the goal is to get better at life. If I'm a football coach, the goal is to get better at football and to win championships and games. If I'm a vocal coach, and I just got off the call with a vocal coach that I have, and I ask him a bunch of questions, and he coached me, do this, do that. And some of the things require effort and practice and changing things. I can complain about that, or I can get to work and say, What benefit, what growth can I have from this experience? I could say, well, he's telling me I'm doing it wrong. Ooh, wrong, bad. Or I can say, this is going to really help me, even though I've got to develop some new things and get some new habits. So that is a possibility. Every single thing that happens around you, happens to you, you can turn that into a positive growth thing if you want to. Nobody's going to make you, but that's a possibility. And I've chosen, my mission statement says, I'm here to learn from my own experience and add good to the world. So share my experience. That's why I do podcasts. That's why I do this. That's why I help people write books. That's why I'm a coach. So that's part one. Part two of my mission statement is to live each day as a beacon of light, a vessel of love, and a conduit of power with nothing to prove and everything to give. Now, that was terrifying for me to craft that. And again, I'm not suggesting that you need to craft something like it, but I am suggesting you think about why you're here. I spent a lot of my life trying to make people like me, trying to impress people, make a lot of money, buy stuff. And that never made me happy. And in fact, it took me to some really dark places, which if you've listened to many episodes or read the book Tightrope of Depression, you know how deep and how dangerous and how deadly some of that stuff got. Now, I have chosen to live each day as a beacon of light. What does that mean? Well, that means I lift and bless every person I can. I try to help. I encourage. I do that on purpose. A vessel of love means that I love. I choose to be loving to every client, to every person who's not a client, to everybody that I talk to, just because I can. And a conduit of power, what I notice is when I do that, ideas come, blessings come, thoughts come, ways that I can help people just show up. And I finally realized you don't have anything you have to prove. Neither do I. We live in a world where we think we do. We've got to prove that we're better than someone. We've got to have more of something than someone else. More money, a better car, more position, more coolness, better clothes. We have to have this in order to be valuable. And again, if I live like that, then I'm allowing my worth to be set by someone else's opinion and by external circumstances. So I challenge you, there's going to be a lot of challenges today, but I challenge you to think about what is your purpose in the world? No one can pick that for you, but they'd like to. People would love to take your effort and energy and repurpose it for their own good. Yeah, you do all this for me. Yeah, do this, do that, and solve all their problems with your energy. You get to pick your life. You get to pick your purpose. You get to choose to be joyful. And nobody can take that from you. So step two for me is to live each day as a beacon of light, a vessel of love, and a conduit of power with nothing to prove and everything to give. And that nothing to prove part was really important for me because I lived my whole life in fear of not being good enough, trying desperately to prove I was okay, worrying about what other people thought. Oh, that was so hard, so heavy. Number three, and this is another one that might sound, I don't care how it sounds, but it might sound strange to some, but it was something I needed in my mission statement. And it says, to love you freely and elevate the substance, success, and sweetness of life's amazing journey. Love is the power of the universe. If I choose, if I say to myself, I'm going to love every single person I meet. I don't care why, what they're doing. I don't care. I'm just going to love them. That doesn't mean I have to approve. It doesn't mean I have to participate. But it means I acknowledge your divinity. And I acknowledge that you have a path through life that has brought you where you are. And I love you and want the best for you. And sometimes when I tell people I love them, it's uncomfortable for them because they don't know what it means. And I'll tell you what it means. It means that I do everything I can to lift and bless your life. When someone connects with me on Facebook, and I get tons of friend requests, and maybe you do too, I'll look them over. I look at their profile and that sort of thing. And, you know, there's lots of scammers and spammers, and I don't approve those. But if I look at the mutual friends and I look at what they're up to and that sort of thing, and it makes sense, I'll accept the friend request. And then immediately I'll send them a text, a voicemail, actually, a voice text. And I'll tell them, hey, thanks for sending a friend request. Appreciate that. I looked your profile over and it seems like you're about this and this and this. And I'll find something on there that I can support, I love, I think it's great. And I'll tell them that. Then they know I've actually looked at them and there's something about them that I really admire. And the last thing I ask, I ask two questions. I say, well, I am curious, what is it that made you reach out to connect? Because I am curious why people do that. I mean, scammers and spammers and people that are trying to market stuff, I kind of know. I tend not to accept those because I've got plenty of those and you'd probably get them too. But sincere requests, I want to know what made them, what did they see or understand that made them reach out? And the last question is, can you tell me what I can do to serve you? What can I do to lift and bless your life? And it's funny because I get all kinds of answers to that. Some people, I don't know, I'll have to think about it. Some people say, you know, just being connected is enough. I don't need anything. And other people put some real thought into that. And I love that when that happens, because then that gives a reason for us to keep talking. Something that's happened to me since I've become a coach in 2008, 2009, so 15 years now, is I have really become a lover of people. That wasn't true before. Before 2007, when I had a about face in my life and started over, I was just concerned about how much money I could make, how much stuff I could buy, how cool I was, and what other people thought of me, being impressive, powerful, wealthy, and that sort of thing. But it didn't make me very happy. Since I've changed, and that was on purpose, I've decided my mission is to love you and to see what I can do to help you. And I found out two things. One is that creates a lot of clients for my business, so the prosperity piece takes care of itself. Lots of people. I don't know why, but I think one of the reasons is because it's unusual to find a place where someone's really trying to support and lift and bless you, and people like being around that. So I offer that encouragement, insight, ideas, wisdom, blind spot protection, lots of things that you develop skill as a coach that people can't find in other places. And so choosing to just be loving, I don't mean be a doormat or let people just say, you know, run over you. I don't mean any of that crap. I'm talking about truly serving someone, which often as a coach includes pointing out behaviors, ideas, attitudes that they're engaged in that are keeping them stuck right where they are and complaining. So love you freely. One of the things I used to do a lot is judge people. Whew, I was awful at that. You're wrong because, you're bad because, your ideas are wrong. You shouldn't, you know, you should, whatever, should and shouldn't were a big piece of the vocabulary. Now we live in a polarized world. There is no question about that. We've got riots everywhere. We've got a couple of wars at least going on that are killing thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people dead because somebody got greedy, somebody got angry. People are carrying out longstanding grudges. You know, no one is justified in cruelty. Cruelty is not called for, ever. But, and I say that carefully, behold the underlying truth, there is a frustration and sadness and pain that sometimes leads people to do things that are harmful to themselves and to others. So there's a huge difference. It's not a fine line. There's a gigantic difference between loving someone as a human, as a divine being, a child of God, and agreeing with actions, supporting attitudes or approaches. You know, some people hate others without a reason. They hate them because they're white or black or belong to this group or have that attitude. And that engenders canceling and viciousness and hatred and negative stuff. That isn't good because you never solve problems. You know this. You never solve problems from a place of animosity. All that happens there is you try to force me or I try to force you or someone else to agree. I'm going to pass a law or I'm going to burn your house down or I'm going to do this or that to try to prove to you that I'm better than you, that you're wrong. But that never actually solves any problems. All you have to do is look through history to see that repeated over and over again. The real solution is always going to be love, because love is the greatest catalyst for change. If you really want to change something, bring love in endless supply and bring patience. Now, once again, that doesn't mean be a doormat, let people take advantage of you or violate boundaries, but it does mean have patience and allow others to be who they are while still protecting yourself, and do so without hatred and animosity. You can disagree with civility. So anyway, love you freely and elevate the substance, success, and sweetness of life's journey. So that's number three. Number four is to create inspired works that come through me to help you choose your purpose, develop your gifts, and serve joyfully. See, with all your being. See, I know you and I are divine beings. We're built to love and serve each other. That's why we're here. Now, sometimes we go through a lot of struggles in life, bad things, things done to us, bad stuff that happens around us that make us forget that, that make us, you know, either turn in, you know, victim, hating the world and hating others, or we give in to the so the religion of money that says, I got to prove that I'm better than you. I've got to, you know, have so many songs where people brag about, I got more than you. I got this many cars and this much gold. And that never, never builds unity, creates positive progress. It doesn't do any of that. And that is, it's a sad thing because that gets in the way of real growth. If two people or three people or a community choose to work from kindness and positivity, there's no limit to what we can do. So my effort to create, you know, I've written 19 books, I have music, I just was working on a bunch of songs. That's why I was on the coaching session with my vocal coach, because I'm speaking and singing and writing about positivity, possibility, understanding the difficult things that we have, turning them into growth opportunities. Because anybody can be mad. You can have something happen to you and you can spend a day, a week, a month, or the rest of your life pissed off. I can never get over this. I can never forgive. All that means is that you or I have chosen to live the rest of my life burdened by anger, bitterness, or a lust for revenge, which just means my life isn't going to be very valuable. I'm not going to add good to the world. The truth is, you and I are come from a divine source of love. We're built to love and serve each other, creating your ultimate life. And I don't know what your words are, but I say a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy that is created fastest and best from love, from kindness, from choosing to be good, from choosing to add good to the world. So that's why it's in my mission statement. And I create inspired works. I believe they're inspired. Somebody's going to listen to them or look at them and say, ooh, this sucks. It's okay. Because for every one of those, there's someone else that's going to look at it and say, this really moved me. It gave me a new thought. It inspired me to action. One of the songs is going to say, you know, that really touched my heart. It really made me remember who I am. That's my mission, to create works and words and songs and books to inspire, to lift, to bless, so that you'll be encouraged to choose your purpose, to write your mission statement, to forgive everyone around you just because you can. Carrying hatred and bitterness is never the way to progress. Number five for me is to be the catalyst for meaning, legacy, and joy to invite you to your highest self. Now, this is going to take some explaining. I don't know about you, but there have been many times where I have acted a certain way, said something, behaved in a way, been dishonest, lied, hurt someone, gossiped, done bad things, stolen something. And then I look at that later, and you can describe it any way you want. But one way I could describe it is that certainly wasn't me at my best. That isn't who I really want to be. Yeah, that's not who I really am. You've heard that. You've probably said that. Ooh, that's not who I really am. Well, you did it. I did it. The things that I have done, I listed a few examples, but tons of them. I mean, I was a drug addict. I was a liar. Lots of things in the past. Those were real, and I can't pretend they weren't. But they certainly weren't me at my best. Even sort of, they were me at my worst, right? So what is the process of growth? Creating your ultimate life is a life that you love every day. Well, that is an intentional effort to do things so that you're always at your best. Now, always at your best doesn't mean stilted or formal or any of that stuff. It means authentic, truthful, open. This is so important, at least it is for me, and you're going to hear the words that you need to hear. I lived a lot of my life when I was stuck in depression and, you know, drugs and other habits that were not good. I lived a lot of my life hoping that people didn't know the truth. I hope nobody sees this or finds out about, you know, this, that, and the other that I had done or said or been. I hope nobody sees me here. I hope nobody knows that this happened or that I did or said that. I'd be so embarrassed. I'd be so bad. You might refer to those things as skeletons in the closet. Well, I had a boatload. And I use the past tense had because I don't have them anymore. I have pulled them out one by one, dusted them off, done whatever I needed to do to fix the thing that created the skeleton as best I can. And often we can't really fix those things, but I did what I could. And then I have forgiven myself for being human, or I have forgiven others, or both, so that that negative thing doesn't hold on to me anymore. And in that way, I have an empty closet. I can't change anything that I've done, and neither can you, but I've done what I can to fix it. And now I can live free. I can live as my best self. And if I say something or do something today that is not my best self, I clean it up right away to live in that place of being my best self all the time or trying really hard to do that. I find that fun. I used to hate it because I always felt guilty. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I should have done this. Garbage. You're human. You make mistakes, and you're going to make more tomorrow. What if you said, hey, I commit to be my very best self, and since I know I'm going to fail, I also commit that every time I fail or fall in any of my declarations, I get up, I fess up, clean it up, whatever that means, and I recommit. That means that you never go to bed with something unfinished. You never go to bed. You never end a day or walk away from a situation dirty, with it not okay, negative. You don't. Just because you choose it. Just because you've decided that's who you are. So you get to live as your highest self all the time. And you might think that's impossible. And I certainly did. But what I've learned through continuous effort, it's not that I don't make mistakes, I make boatloads, but that if I immediately clean it up and forgive myself for being human and clean it up, I don't mean excuse myself, I mean forgive, which means clean it up and, you know, recommit. then I get to live as my highest self. So number five, again, is me. I'm the catalyst to help you become your highest self. And at the same time, I'm busy working on being that myself. And it is that very act of being constantly engaged in that growth that makes you or me a good example, a good catalyst. Now, I love the word catalyst because I'm a chemist, like this nutcase behind me. A catalyst is a chemical that makes another reaction happen that wouldn't happen otherwise. Or it makes it happen a lot faster. Now, we've all heard of the term catalytic converter. And the people, you know, they're a great thing for theft because there's platinum. There used to be, I don't know if there still is, but there's platinum in a catalytic converter. And so you might say, well, if you know you need to use platinum to do whatever it does, then doesn't it run out? And the answer is no. That's the fun part about being a catalyst. It's never used up. Just because the platinum is there, it causes a chemical reaction. In our case, carbon monoxide turning more fully into carbon dioxide. And so that catalytic converter was a piece of gear they used to put on cars. They still do. Different forms changed. But it caused more efficiency in the fuel. But the catalyst itself was never used up. So you are a catalyst. So am I. The question is, what are you a catalyst for? Now, you've been around people that as soon as they show up at the party, the life of the party, things start jumping and popping. And they can do that over and over and over again. They are a catalyst for the social interaction or for good time or for pleasantries. You know, they're a catalyst for that. They carry the energy and power for that. What are you a catalyst for? When you show up somewhere, what happens that otherwise wouldn't happen? That's why I love the word catalyst and I use it. So number five for me is to be the catalyst for meaning, legacy, and joy to invite you to your highest self. Because I've learned to do that. And I have a lot of fun. I certainly used to not. I used to need that. But with the work, I have become a catalyst. So again, me sharing with you my mission statement is just an invitation for you to examine who you are, whether you're doing it consciously or unconsciously. You're doing it. You're walking through the life, your life, a certain way. You're creating ripples around you of energy, of positivity, of negativity, of love, of hatred, of prejudice, of tolerance. You're doing that. So why not do it on purpose? Why not make your effort to create, add good to the world? Because what I know, and I can promise you this, is if you do that, you're going to be more happy. You're going to be happier. You're going to have more money. And you might not see the connection. How is being nice to people create more money? It just does. It helps you create your ultimate life. All right, that's number five. Number six is one that was really important to me. My goal, my purpose, my mission is to show you that no matter what has come before, no matter what has happened to you before, it is never too late to matter and have a big impact as you serve with your chosen purpose. Now, I don't know what your chosen purpose is. I used to be stuck where my purpose was just to make more money, get more promotions, be important, have others like me, make myself feel good, and that led to a lot of misery and pain. Today, I've chosen a different purpose. I'm a coach. I'm a lover of people. I do that on purpose, and I do it the very best I can all the time. Crazy, huh? Crazy. But one of those ways, one of the things that has become really important to me is something that I needed to address for me, because I didn't start this personal growth journey until I was 52. In 2007, the year I turned 52, I had a divine intervention, a series of extraordinary things that happened over a period of about a month in August and September. That really was a wake-up call that let me realize the path I was walking was miserable, painful, and yeah, really bad. And it let me realize I could go a different way. And so I did, and I chose to change. I chose to say, I'm done with the old way of being. I'm going to be a new way. But one of the things that I felt really, really bad about for several years after that was I've wasted decades. I'm 52. I've wasted a lot of my life. It's too late. I can never get time back. I can never create. Oh, dear, what can I do to get on the fast track to make up for lost time? That was a constant theme of my thinking, even my praying, of my work. I got to hurry up. I got to somehow fix all the bullshit that's gone before. Well, I did what I could to fix it, but we can't undo what we've done, nor can we get back a lost hour, day, year, or decade. We can't. It is not available. The only thing we can do is we make a conscious, powerful, immediate, and dedicated choice about who we're being in this moment. Now, in this moment for me, I'm talking to you, and I am loving you. I'm inviting you into your highest self. I'm inviting you to consider what your purpose is in the world. And if you haven't written it down and articulated it and committed to it, try it. I'm inviting you to do that. I'm inviting you to realize your power. I'm inviting you to understand you're so valuable. You have infinite worth, and you can make any difference you want in the world. You might not think so, but you haven't started yet. And that's what I love most of all about being a coach, being the person that I am, is I am able, with the work that I do, both with clients and just how I show up, to help people look up instead of looking in the mud, to look up, to look to possibility, to look to what can I create? Yeah. I know all this stuff happened. I know I don't have the money I want. I know. But what is possible instead of what is missing? Well, if I just had, you know, big long list, then I'd be okay. Then I'd be able to focus on whatever. No, you can do it now. And that doesn't eradicate our need to eat and have a roof and all the rest. But you can choose to live and love. If people can hate other people without knowing them, you and I, we can love other people without knowing them. We can be a vessel of love, a beacon of light, a conduit of power. You can be that, or your words, your version of that. So number six for me is to show you, and to show you by my example. I didn't start till I was 52. Colonel Sanders didn't start his Kentucky Fried till he was 65. We all know the stories, right? You are that. I don't care what's happened before. I don't care what's happened to you or for you. It's never too late to matter. And I'm living proof. I didn't even start this, and like I said, till I was 52. And then I realized, I got it. I got my life in front of me. But my first thought was, it's too late. I've wasted several decades. I'm toast. I can never do what I should have done. I can never catch up. And you know what? It doesn't matter. There is no catch up. There is only what are you choosing to do today? The only moment that matters is this 8.64 seconds in front of you. Now, some episode I'll talk about why a moment is 8.64 seconds, but it is. The only thing you can do is do something in this moment. You can't do something in the last moment or the next one. You can only do something in this moment. So it is never too late to matter. It is never too late to have a big impact. It is never too late to do the things you want to do as you choose to serve with your chosen purpose. And people say to me all the time, I don't know what my purpose is. Well, then choose one. It's not going to come in an Amazon box. It's not going to come on the wings of a heavenly messenger. You're going to choose who you are, who you represent, what you stand for in the world. So choose it. Declare it. Write it down. Repeat it. My mission statement, I say every day. I repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. Not to be silly, but to recommit. To say, yeah, I am that. Because I choose it. And every word in there is of my choice. The last one, number seven, is to coach. So my mission is to coach. What is coach? It is to love, to encourage, to give ideas, to give suggestions, to protect my clients from blind spots, to reflect the truth of who they are being, if they're being disempowered, if they're giving their power away, if they're making excuses, if they're not trying to reflect that also. It's also to acknowledge and to lift and to love and to bless them every single way I can. When I talk to my clients, I'm always telling them how great they are and what else they can do. Because every client I have is trying to accomplish something. I mean, you don't hire a swimming coach unless you want to get to a podium. You don't hire a vocal coach like me unless you want to sing better. You hire a coach to help you, a life coach to help you have a more full, rich, powerful life, a business coach to help you grow your business. And all of it simply comes back to who you're being in the world. Who are you? And this conversation today about a mission statement is just to give you an example of what a mission statement could be. So I encourage you to write yours. Why are you here? What is your mission? I encourage you to do it with love for yourself, with recognition of your divine capability, with great forgiveness and compassion for whatever's happened to you before, for whatever mistakes you make. Clean them up and move forward. Forgive others everything all the time. It doesn't serve you or them to carry baggage. And carrying a grudge, someone said, is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It's not going to happen, and you're poisoned. So mine is to learn, to live, to love, to create, to be, to show, and to coach. And then each one of those has the sentence I shared with you behind it. What is yours? You might think, what does that have to do with getting rich? Everything. Everything. It has to do, has everything to do with joy, purpose, prosperity, making a difference. If you want to learn how to create the biggest impact, make the most money, and have the most fun, I invite you to come talk to me. That URL on the screen, yourultimatelife.ca. If you don't go there and get those free gifts, then you won't have the 5 master keys to unlocking your gifts, unlocking your path to the ultimate life. Those are not trivial things. Those are things I've learned in the 16 years since 2007 with my own sweat and blood and trial and error and effort. So like the alchemist behind me, you have the capability to create anything you want. You can turn whatever lead is weighing you down right now into gold, pure gold of love, creation, prosperity, joy, excitement, joie de vivre, the excitement of life. You know you've had days where you're just excited about the day. Why not have every day like that? That is within your possibility. It's within your reach. That doesn't happen with a click. It's not download and double click. But there is a path. I don't care where you're starting. You have a mission. You have a purpose. Do you know what it is? I challenge you to find it. I challenge you to own it. I challenge you to lean into it, to love yourself, and to give of yourself. I made so much, It took me a long time to learn the lesson that trying to get what I want was the fastest way to sadness. Trying to give what I have is the fastest way to happiness and prosperity. Think about that. The fastest way to happiness and prosperity. Serve, love, give. You will discover your gifts, your joy, and in that process, you will be able to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.